Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is a special edition of Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Americans have a lot of traditions for the Memorial Day weekend. Some people will mark the unofficial start of summer by firing up the old grill, or visiting loved ones, or getting a sweet deal on a new TV. But not me. I'm spending the Memorial Day holiday digging through our audio archives at soundcheck.org, reliving some of the great moments that happen each weeknight at 9 p.m. And as I sort through the stuff we've aired, you know what I'm learning? That some of my favorite moments on the show involve a single guest, the actor, comedian, author, and banjo player, Steve Martin. Now, our executive producer, Joel, is away, living the high life in his upstate McMansion, so I'm going to play a full hour of Steve Martin, because there's no one here to tell me not to. Actually, when you think about it, it all makes sense. Memorial Day is a distinctly American holiday, and as we'll hear from Steve later, the history of the banjo parallels the history of America itself. Plus, we're going to hear Steve Martin team up with his friend, the singer-songwriter Edie Brickell, in our studio, where they'll play some songs from their new record. But first, let me take you back to Steve's first appearance on Soundcheck. The year was 2011. The place was our ground floor performance venue, The Green Space. Steve Martin joined us with his backing band, the Steep Canyon Rangers, and here they are playing the title track from their album Rare Bird Alert on this Memorial Day weekend special edition of Soundcheck.
Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Steve Martin and the Steep Canyon Rangers live in the Green Space. Let me introduce you to the Rangers, Mike Gugino, who plays the mandolin. Charles Humphrey III, who plays the bass. Woody Platt on guitar. Nikki Sanders playing the fiddle. And the dueling banjos, Graham Sharp and Steve Martin.
Thank you very much.
For a guy who first built his reputation telling jokes, how did you end up with an instrument that's the butt of so many of them?
How dare you? Well, I just fell in love with the banjo when I was very young, and there was a folk music craze and swept the nation. It began really for the public with the Kingston Trio, mm-hmm. but it really brought to light a lot of great musicians, including Pete Seeger, who was already known, but he became known across the nation because of the popularity of the Kingston Trio, and that led to Bob Dylan and Joan Baez, and it started a great, great movement.
And so it was around that time that you fell in love with this instrument.
Yes, I heard the Dillards live, which is a great bluegrass act, and I got to see Earl Scruggs, one of the great banjo players.
Well, the great banjo virtuoso Bela Fleck,
yes.
who has won Grammys in more different categories than anybody in Grammy history, once...
I'm glad you mentioned that.
You're not doing too shabby yourself, though. Grammy for the first record. There was one before that, right? You did a version of Foggy Mountain Breakdown.
Yes, I played on Earl Scruggs' Foggy Mountain Breakdown with him and many, many great musicians, and I played banjo on that, and I won a Grammy by default because all the others won Grammys, and I was there, too.
Well, Bela Fleck once told us that the definition of a gentleman... Have you heard this joke? What's the definition of a gentleman?
Well, I've never heard the definition of a gentleman. I'm sure I haven't heard that because I'm not...
Definition of a gentleman is someone who can play the banjo, but doesn't. And by that definition, Steve, you have been a gentleman for a good couple of decades.
Well, okay.
Why have you come back to it? You know, why
well,
now?
I've always loved the instrument. There's actually a long story, but that's why I'm here, isn't it? I was asked to play on Tony Trischka's record called Double Banjo Bluegrass Spectacular, and he said, would you like to play, because we're doing these double banjo record, and I said, well, you know, just to play one of the bluegrass standards, there's many, many players who could do that, but I do have my own songs, and I played one of the songs for him, and it was called The Crow. And he said, yeah, let's do that one. And so we recorded it, and it became this little modest hit. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, wait a minute, I've got other songs. So I recorded an album, and it became a hit. And it was actually went to number one on the bluegrass charts. And on the pop charts, it went to number 10,227. And then I wrote another... 13 songs for this album with the great Steep Canyon Rangers, whom I'm proud to play with.
All right, now quickly, how did you and the Rangers come together?
My wife and her family liked to vacation in North Carolina in Brevard. What a coincidence, because this has been the luckiest teaming of my life, except for getting married, of course. And they came to a party. And they said, oh, a local band is going to come by. And, of course, I thought, oh, a local band, this is going to be, oh, my God. And, you know, I can't wait to show them my stuff, you know. And they were fantastic. And now here we are working together. It's been a fantastic excursion for me. And making a record together. And, you know, of course, I'm taking all the money. So they live in the van. And it's really nice. And I send out food to them.
And the result of the fruits of this labor, the album called Rare Bird Alert.
Rare Bird Alert.
You've got two more songs to do for us.
Yes.
The first of them called Jubilation Day.
Yes. It's based on the premise that not all breakups are bad. And sometimes I think everybody's had the experience that you have a relationship end and you just feel like happier than you've ever felt. And you're kind of walking on air. So that's the premise of this song.
All right, once again, it's Steve Martin and the Steep Canyon Rangers live in the green space.
I'm walking away,
like dear Abby told me.
I'm walking away.
My shrink gave his okay.
I'm walking away. The self-help book implored
me. I'm walking away. Jubilation Day.
My best friends all had warned me.
I'm walking away.
Even your mom said you were nuts.
In my dreams.
You wear a red cape and a pitchfork.
I'm walking away. Jubilation Day.
Let me get my things.
I'm walking away.
Where'd you hide my banjo strings?
I'm walking away.
I'll be over you by lunchtime.
I'm walking away. Jubilation Day.
Let's always remember the good times.
I'm walking away.
Like when you were out of town.
I'm walking away.
But the sex was great.
I'm walking away.
At least that's what my best friend's brother said.
I'm walking away. I'm walking away.
You should always stay in touch.
I'm walking away.
This is your new email address, right?
I'm walking away.
Cheating psycho, dish throwing hoe, dot nut.
I'm walking away.
Bye.
Steve Martin and the Steep Canyon Rangers live on soundcheck from the Green Space with a final song. Here's Northern Ireland.
Northern Ireland. We call this in bluegrass parlance a breakdown. One, two, three, four.
That's Steve Martin and the Steep Canyon Rangers performing on the stage of the Green Space back in March of 2011, but stick around because you haven't heard the last of the Steep Canyon Rangers yet. They'll be back with Steve Martin and Edie Brickell for an in-studio performance later in the show. But first, Steve Martin gives us a banjo history lesson as this Memorial Day weekend special edition of Soundcheck continues. I'm John Schaefer. You're listening to a Memorial Day weekend special edition of Soundcheck, WNYC's destination for new music, live performance, and conversations about music. You can catch us weeknights at 9 and 24/7 online at soundcheck.org. This year, I'm spending the entire hour listening back to our visits with the comedian, actor, and Grammy-winning banjo player Steve Martin. Now, we just heard his turn in the Green Space from 2011. Later that year, he was hosting a PBS documentary called Give Me the Banjo, about the parallels between the history of the banjo and American history. When we sat down to talk about it here in the studio, I asked Steve about a statement he makes in the film that the banjo is part of our DNA as a country.
When I first heard the banjo, I felt like I had heard it before.
Had you heard it before?
I mean, you know, I don't think I had. I mean, it's part of the my romance with the banjo. I just felt like it was talking to me from some past, and I think it just felt American to me. And you know, I was born in Texas, and I just felt this immediate connection to it.
And it's a connection that goes back a surprisingly long way. I mean, the title of the documentary is from Mark Twain.
Yes.
He refers to it as the glory-beaming banjo. He's sort of like, you can have your pianos and your violins. Mm-hmm. I want the glory-beaming banjo.
Well, the banjo has been played in so many different styles. You know, there's that plunkety-plunk that you hear from the four-string banjo. What we're talking about basically, when I say we, I'm really merely the narrator of this. This has been a long time project for its creator, Mark Fields, who wrote it and guided it and directed it. This is basically about the five-string banjo. Mm-hmm. And the four-string banjo is a different sound, it's a different instrument.
People are still surprised to realize how long the instrument has been in this country. It came over from West Africa with the slave trade. Mm-hmm. And again, early in the documentary, somebody says, you know, when you talk about the banjo, you have to talk about some pretty ugly things, racism, slavery, mm-hmm. misogyny.
Well, that's not the banjo's fault. That's
right.
You know, the banjo really has two trajectories. One as an instrument of professional musicians and one as a folk instrument. Not that they weren't professional musicians, but their skill is very high. You know, it was performed in theaters, in concerts, in orchestras. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in the 20s, the banjo, before microphones and amplification, the banjo was used in orchestras because it's one of the few instruments that could get over the top of trumpets. And so it was loud. And then, in the 30s, Earl Scruggs came along and really defined what the five-string banjo could do. And that was the professional trajectory. But then there was this, you know, this sort of folky trajectory. And I don't know where the minstrel show falls in that. So it was performed in the mid-19th century, in the late 19th century, by people in blackface, mm-hmm. and it was very cartoony, and, you know, obviously now it's considered an insult. And so you had this, the banjo tied to this sort of ugly side of racism and caricature. But then, as I'm watching the narrative, in the 60s, along comes Pete Seeger, and he's carrying the banjo and using it as an instrument of freedom mm-hmm. and protest. And it was just great to see it completely turned on its head and used as an instrument of protest. It was a fantastic moment.
It is an instrument that comes from African roots, and it's great to hear in the documentary someone like Rhiannon Giddens from the mm-hmm. Carolina Chocolate Drops.
Mm-hmm. They were great performers, by the way. It's a great show.
They've been on Soundcheck as well. A great African American kind of old time string band, but they're mm-hmm. young players.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And this is Rhiannon in the documentary called Give Me the Banjo.
There's so much history in this music that is not in public view. The good stuff and the bad stuff. The cultural richness of it, the historical richness of it, and then the music itself fills a hole. And if we can get closer to filling that hole, you know, I think everybody is enriched by it.
Carolina Chocolate Drops. That's a clip from the PBS documentary Give Me the Banjo, narrated by Steve Martin, who's my guest on Soundcheck. And how much of the history of the instrument have you learned since you picked it up?
Well, I was really only interested in the kind of contemporary history. that's a contradiction in terms, but really from the folk music days, the Kingston Trio, bluegrass and Earl Scruggs. So I didn't really go back to the minstrel show days, and mm-hmm. Because to me that reflects more of the four-string banjo. And I know there was, you know, five-string banjo playing going on, but I was really interested in the bluegrass sound, which does not come from a kind of cartoon or caricaturish history. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's a very authoritative sound. And I saw, you know, there's a great black musician, Taj Mahal,
right,
who's in the documentary. And it's so funny. I went to a banjo contest. I was about 18 or 19. It was in Orange County, California. Actually, it's at Topanga Canyon. So that's Los Angeles. And he was playing there. And he was so fantastic. And he played a song called Colored Aristocracy, which is a famous old-time song. And I just thought he was so great, and it had certain irony to it, mm-hmm. that he was playing it. And so people were playing the five string in a very sophisticated way by that time.
Now, the film is called Give Me the Banjo. Here in New York, we might say it, give me the banjo, the word damn being implied or understood. But really, that's what this film is. It's like one person after another hearing someone else play the banjo, mm-hmm. and saying, give me that. Let me try that.
Well, there was no formal instruction. I mean, there were banjo schools. You know, there's mm-hmm. hilarious photos I've seen, you know, of...
There's some in the documentary,
people dressed literally as clowns or majorettes. You know, what do they call those people?
The drum majorettes.
Drum majorettes, learning to play the banjo. Usually it was the four string, but...
So who was it for you that made you, as a youngster, say, give me that. Let me try that.
Well, I'd have to say it was Earl Scruggs. He was the great... It's a sound that if you have any inclination toward the banjo, when you hear it, you really do say, what's that? Mm-hmm. What's that sound? And I can remember listening to the music, and it was like the only sort of analogy I can think of is it's like the Red Sea, and you're parting all the other instruments orally to get to that sound. And you're moving the guitar aside in your head, and you're, you know, moving the mandolin aside, and you're moving the fiddle aside, and you're trying to focus in on that sound of that five-string banjo.
And how old were you when that happened?
I would have been about 16 or 17.
Mm-hmm. Steve Martin is with me on Soundcheck. Give Me the Banjo is the name of this PBS documentary about the history of the instrument. It became a part of your routines early on in your mm-hmm. career, and you had a line about how the banjo can't play a sad song.
Yes, well, that was a joke, because I think the banjo can be quite melancholy.
In fact, there's a great moment, I mean, a kind of a hair-raising moment in the documentary, where someone, it might be Mike Seeger, finds Doc Boggs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Doc Boggs had recorded this murder ballad, a pretty grim murder ballad called Pretty Polly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, back in the...
There's a tradition of murder ballads in bluegrass, and not so much bluegrass, but Appalachian and mm-hmm. folk music coming over from Ireland and England and Scotland.
And so...
The girl always gets killed. I don't know
right.
why.
Pretty Polly is mm-hmm. lured into the mm-hmm. forest by her fiancé.
Right.
And he kills her there and buries her. And...
Nobody ends well. Doc Boggs recorded this like in the 20s, and then it's like 50, 40 years later that Mike Seeger goes and finds him. And this is the footage from the documentary Give Me the Banjo.
I've been playing. Some people like to hear the way I play, and some doesn't so much. We can't expect everybody to like it, but I'm going to play you a little bit of Pretty Polly, the way I put it on record years ago.
When we first met, we were both incredulous. He didn't believe that anybody would remember those old records. And I couldn't believe that the person who made those records was sitting in front of me.
That is Pretty Polly, as performed by Doc Boggs on the banjo from the documentary film Give Me the Banjo, which is narrated by my guest, Steve Martin. Do you always travel with your banjo?
Yes, I do now.
So you have it here. One of the things, it's mentioned in the documentary, but you know, maybe you can show us some of what this is about, the different ways of playing the instrument. People right, talk about frailing and clawhammer. Mm-hmm. What is that?
Well, there's basically two styles. One is called three-finger or scrug style, and one is called clawhammer, and it's also called frailing, so it's confusing. Frailing and clawhammer are essentially the same thing.
And they're not
clawhammer sounds like a Kama Sutra position, but it's not really. It's just a way of playing the banjo. And I grew up with calling it frailing, but now they're calling it clawhammer because it sounds cooler.
How many fingers do you use for that?
Well, it's
please
it's,
don't say three.
It's hard to say. Yeah, it could be two, it can be three, it can be four. It depends. But the essential difference with three finger, you're plucking up. And you're wearing picks on your fingers. So you're using picks and you're picking it. And with clawhammer, you're using the backs of your fingernails and you're plucking down. So you get a completely different sound. It's like the difference between ballet and tap. You know, tap, your toes are pointed out. In ballet, your toes are pointed in.
Okay.
I can give you an example. It's not a perfect example because of the different tunings, but I'll give you an example of three finger and play the same song again in clawhammer.
Okay.
This is a song from my first record called The Crow. This is the three finger style. Same little melody with the clawhammer.
So the clawhammer has a kind of a mellower sound and maybe a little more.
It can be played very fast. It's got a wide range, just like three finger does.
But the three finger is more like, I mean, if I, you know, as a lifelong guitarist, picked up the banjo, I would sort of naturally gravitate, I guess, towards the
because it's more similar. Yeah.
Yeah. Now the clawhammer technique that you just demonstrated for us. There's a moment in the film where it is posited that that technique is a result of Charlie Poole breaking his hand in a bet.
Oh, no, that technique's been around for a long, long time.
That's what I thought.
But it might have been, I think it affected a certain style of his playing, but it was Clawhammer had been around forever.
So, but Charlie Poole, this amazing kind of figure in the development
right.
of the banjo,
mm-hmm.
when he set his hand on the instrument, because it was mm-hmm. sort of bent and gnarly, it would just be in that natural. It would
yeah,
be in that position.
I think he was really known for his songwriting mm-hmm. and just promotion of the banjo.
Perhaps his best-known song, which was a big hit for Charlie Poole, is this one, which also appears in the documentary Give Me the Banjo. It's called Don't Let Your Deal Go Down.
Now I've been on the ramp this whole wide world, down to Memphis, Tennessee. Any old place to hang my hat looks like home to me. Now I left my little girl standing in the door.
That is Charlie Poole, Don't Let Your Deal Go Down Blues, a big hit for him, kind of appeared out of nowhere from the
yeah.
mills of North Carolina.
You know, it's so funny about that song. It's I've heard it done, it's still a popular song for bluegrass groups to do, and I've heard it done, and it can sound so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's strange, and I still never figured out what it means. don't let your deal go down.
Yeah,
I don't know. You know, it sounds great. I kind of get it. I mean, maybe don't lose your cool or
yeah,
something like that.
I don't think there's anything too off color about it
yeah.
because Dan Zanes does a big version with kids, four kids. So.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so that's Charlie Poole, who's
but
one
you know,
of the...
A lot of the music you're playing, it's interesting, because this is a history of the banjo that goes back over 200 years. It sounds very rural.
Right.
But there's a lot of music that is actually quite modern.
Well, what do you think of some of the new banjo music? I mean, on the one hand, there are people like Jamie Stone, who's looking back to the African roots of the
mm-hmm.
instrument. On the other hand, you have people with, like, solid body electric banjos and stuff. Is it all fair game?
Well, anything in art is completely fair game. I like, you know, I don't really know Jamie Stone, so I hate him. No, of course I'm kidding, but
that'll be on Jamie Stone's Twitter account momentarily. Let me play some for you. This
yeah,
is Jamie
do.
Stone
yeah.
with Mansa Sissoko, musician from West Africa. West African Kora meets American banjo in that music from Jamie Stone and Mansa Sissoko. Here's another example of new banjo music. Abigail Washburn, who plays Chinese music on the banjo with the Sparrow Quartet. Abigail Washburn's Sparrow Quartet usually includes her husband, Bela Fleck. The Seabrook Power Plant is basically a one-man band. That one man is banjo player Brandon Seabrook. Bit of it's kind
yeah.
of heavy metal banjo.
I have to take back what I said about Jamie Stone. I thought that was fantastic. And I've actually played that song with Abigail Washburn on stage before.
Really?
Yeah.
With the
yeah.
Sparrow Quartet?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So those are all examples of the banjo kind of refusing to be pigeonholed, which is another part of the ongoing history of this instrument.
Yeah, it's a, you know, first, it's such a beautiful looking instrument, and I think people are attracted to it just the way it looks, mm-hmm. you know.
We're speaking with Steve Martin. He narrates the documentary called Give Me the Banjo. Is there anything, I mean, you say in the documentary towards the end that you can't imagine your life without the banjo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you've sort of followed a lifelong dream in picking up the instrument and playing, mm-hmm. you know, professionally mm-hmm. at a very high level. You've established a prize. Is there anything that you haven't been able to do with or for the instrument yet?
Well, ideally, I would like to make the nation understand that the banjo is not a niche instrument, that it's, you know, it's still kind of trying to overcome its link to a kind of hillbilly image. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with hillbillies, mm-hmm. but for some people, there is something wrong with hillbillies. And but it's the music is so complex and sort of driving and emotional. That's another thing I'm trying to reach out is how and explain is how emotional the banjo can be.
That was Steve Martin on Soundcheck back in the fall of 2011 when he hosted a PBS documentary called Give Me the Banjo. You can find more information about it at thebanjoproject.org. It's also available to watch on iTunes and Amazon. Coming up, this all-Steve Martin edition of Soundcheck continues. Hear him team up with singer-songwriter Edie Brickell in the studio. They'll play songs from their new album, Love Has Come For You, when this Memorial Day weekend special edition of Soundcheck continues. I'm John Schaefer. This is a Memorial Day weekend special edition of Soundcheck from WNYC. Every weeknight at 9, we talk about music, we invite musicians to perform on the show, and as you've heard, Steve Martin has joined us to play both in the green space and also here in the studio to spin the tale of the banjo. His most recent visit was just last month, and he brought along his friend Edie Brickell. Their new record is called Love Has Come For You. We'll hear them talk about it in a moment, but here's Steve Martin and Edie Brickell and the Steep Canyon Rangers playing the title track in the Soundcheck studio.
Thank you.
That is the title track from the new album by Steve Martin and Edie Brickell called Love Has Come For You. Live performance here in the Soundcheck studio. Edie singing, Steve playing, and the Steep Canyon Rangers. Steve, thanks for bringing the boys back into our studio today.
Oh, they're hard to wrangle, but especially when they get to New York City, you know, they've never seen the big city before.
Well, they have.
They're from North Carolina.
They have
we
seen.
We met in North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Woody Platt on guitar and vocals, Mike Ugino on mandolin and vocals, Graham Sharp banjo and vocals, Nikki Sanders fiddle and yes, vocals, Charles Humphrey III bass and more vocals, Mike Ashworth playing percussion there, but keyboards as well. And how did this? First of all, love has come for you, Edie. That's an interesting kind of turn of phrase. You know that love has done the sort of the picking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Was that inspired by a turn of musical phrase as well?
Yeah. The minute I heard Steve's part, I mean, this song just flowed out the first time that I heard his music. The idea of it did. The very first line, she had a child by that man from the bank. And then I just channeled what the story would be as the images rolled in. And Love Has Come For You, it just felt like this baby is a gift to you. It's not a shame.
Mm-hmm. Steve, you and Edie both have done lyrics and music, but it seems like there's more of a division of labor on
Absolutely.
This record.
Absolutely. I was just struck. I'm so glad you asked that question, because I too was struck by the phrase "Love Has Come For You," because it's a double entendre too. It's come for your happiness, and it's also come to take you.
Yeah.
I thought it was such an elegant phrase. And so many times I was surprised as the lyrics came back, even songs we're doing today, like Siamese Cat. When I saw the title, I thought, now that is an unusual title for a song. And I continue to be struck by the lyrics that she wrote. They're just unusual, and they continue to give as I listen to the record.
So do you have some kind of vague idea in mind as you're playing? I mean,
nothing. I write the songs as songs and send them off.
Mm-hmm.
And see what comes back. And as they kept coming back completely fulfilling, I thought, well, I'm going to push her harder. and that's when we got into some of the more couple of tunes I would consider kind of jazzy, not really. We don't really leave the area of the banjo, but mm-hmm. And she always rose to the occasion.
Yeah. Speaking of the banjo, this is some of your most kind of lyrical and melodic banjo playing, as opposed to the breakdowns and stuff.
Absolutely.
So was that also part of this, was to kind of get out of the...
Yes, I've been searching my whole life, really, for the sound I've had in my head, and I've just been able to land on it really in the last couple of years.
And Edie, Steve says, you know, he would write these tunes and then send them off to you. He's speaking literally, right? You guys are on different coasts, and so he would
mm-hmm.
actually send you what, email files? And
yeah.
How did this bi-coastal arrangement first happen?
We were actually in New York at the same time, and mm-hmm. we were at a party, and I complimented him on his music and said, if he ever wanted to write a song together, I would love it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did this horrible thing that people never do. We followed through.
Uh-huh. I was going to say, that can't have been the first time, Steve,
yeah.
someone said, hey,
I mean,
we should write a song together.
That should never be done in show business, but we did it, actually.
Speaking of this kind of timeless quality, though, you wrote a couple of songs, a couple of lyrics, Edie, that kind of allude to folk music, American folk tropes, even British kind of, you know, recurring folk tropes. There's King of Boys, there's Sarah Jane and the Iron Mountain Baby. Were you kind of thinking in those terms, maybe getting a step away from bluegrass or the things that you've done with New Bohemians, etc., in the past?
No, I wasn't. There wasn't a conscious effort to move away from anything. I was trying to move closer to what the banjo tunes were offering. And Sarah Jane and the Iron Mountain Baby came when I heard myself singing, woo, woo. And I thought, that sounds like a train. I need to find a beautiful name. But I wanted a real train. I didn't want to make up a train. So I Googled Southern train names. And the very first one that appealed to me was the Iron Mountain. And if you look, so I clicked on Iron Mountain, and there's this story about the Iron Mountain Baby. Hmm. And so I said, whoa, there's... And this woman's name was Sarah Jane. I said, I can't believe that her name rhymes with train. This is it.
I mean, it's one of those songs. It has a very old kind of Americana sound to it, and yet here it is. It's a brand new tune.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm glad.
That's one of the great things about the record, which is called Love Has Come For You by Steve Martin and Edie Brickell, who are here with the Steep Canyon Rangers. Steve, have these songs changed yet again since you and Edie wrote them with the addition of the Rangers?
Huh? I'm not sure what you mean. We're trying to play them as closely to the record that we can. The record was produced by Peter Asher,
right?
Who's a great, great record producer and
musician himself,
and musician, a member of Peter and Gordon.
Peter and Gordon,
for
right.
people who are my age and younger, and he really, you know, it was a difficult thing to cap to create this sound because you're dealing with a banjo. And
insert banjo joke here.
You know, blend with strings and, you know, a very different sound that the banjo, I've always believed, can do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not particularly a new sound because I know it's been done before, but it hasn't been ever presented wide.
Yeah.
This kind of blend.
So you kind of maybe had this sound in your mind's ear as you guys were doing
the
record.
Well, I always have, but Peter was able to actually do it.
All right.
And he also presented some new elements to it that I didn't think were going to work so well, but they did. There were percussion, for one thing, which is a no-no in bluegrass. And he took it beyond that and added some, I don't know, it's stuff that's beyond me. I don't know. It's some kind of magic they do. I don't know.
Stuff that plugs in.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. There is some subtle electric and electronic sound
it is very subtle, actually. But mostly it is an acoustic, I'd say it's 100% acoustic record, except, of course, for my banjo playing, which is created out of synthetic electronic lips.
Steve Martin, Edie Brickell, and the Steep Canyon Rangers are here with us on Soundcheck today. They will be playing Town Hall here in New York on Tuesday, June 25th. But playing for us today, you want to do another song for us?
Sure. Love to.
This one is Siamese Cat, which, again, appears on the record as well. But we're hearing a live performance with the Steep Canyon Rangers here in the Soundcheck studio from Steve Martin and Edie Brickell.
One, two, three.
I like your Siamese cat. I like your cowboy hat. But I don't like your daughter. She's just so spoiled and mean. A regular teenage queen. You gave her everything but time. Thank you.
What was that at the end of that song?
That was Nikki Sanders, our fiddler, doing a cat purring.
That, I was going to say, it sounded like a horse neighing, but okay, cat purr. You're in the animal kingdom.
Well,
I
then you failed miserably, Nikki. It sounded like a horse neigh.
Steve Martin playing banjo, Edie Brickell singing, the Steep Canyon Rangers performing the song Siamese Cat. Steve, you were talking before about being surprised when Edie's lyrics would come back to you. I know the first time I heard that song, I heard that line, "But I don't like your daughter." I was like, what did she just say?
Oh, I was so surprised. But I was surprised when the first lyric came back and he said, "When you get to Asheville, send me an email." And I thought, oh, we're off on a contemporary adventure, mm-hmm. and not we're not faking old songs.
All right, let me go back to some of the questions coming in on Twitter and Facebook for Steve and Edie. Oh, my God, I just realized.
I know, it's Steve and Edie.
Steve and Edie.
Yes.
Steve Lawrence, Edie Gourmet. Come on. Is that why you did this?
No.
Is that why? To be
but
a latter-day
I love
Steve
and Edie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now we're both showing our age. Mm-hmm. Pop vocal duo, Steve Lawrence, Edie Gourmet from the 1970s. Different Steve and Edie, but here's a question from Antonio from Mexico City. And Steve, this is addressed to you. How different is it?
No, I have not received the drugs yet. Oh, I shouldn't say that.
How different is it to write music than to write comedy or prose?
It's identical. No, it's completely two different. Well, obviously it's three different things, mm-hmm. but what are the similarities? I would say in all three of those enterprises, you are writing phrases and sentences that must be concise, and they have beginnings, middles, and ends. Hmm. So I think that's what I have to say about it. There's a certain rhythm to all of that, especially comedy, and I feel that way in prose, too. You can almost feel the rhythm of the sentence. You can feel interior rhythms of the sentence. You can feel the rhythm of the paragraph, and if you're lucky, you can feel the rhythm of the whole book, that you're working on. And I think in some way, I feel this way about this record, that whether we intended it to or not, the entire album has a rhythm, an organicness to it.
Edie, does that work for you? The idea of the rhythm of the words, the rhythm of the line, and how it builds into paragraphs and stuff, or maybe verses and choruses in this case?
Yeah, I'm always aware of the rhythm, mm-hmm. and how a certain vowel sound will create a rhyme.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about the power?
Gee, her answer was so much shorter than mine.
It had a beginning, concise. A middle, and an end, and it was concise. It was
it wasn't
exactly
quite
what
concise.
You were saying.
Too bad we're live. You could have edited that line down, but anyway.
Steve Martin, Edie Brickell, and the Steep Canyon Rangers are here with us on Soundcheck today. They will be playing Town Hall here in New York on Tuesday, June 25th. They've been playing for us here in the studio on Soundcheck today. And guys, thank you all. It's great to see you all again.
Thank you very much.
It's been a lot of fun.
And where do we get paid? Where does the...
we have interns to take care of that.
Thank you.
You've been a friend of mine for such a long, long time. Made me laugh and seen me cry. Called me to say hi. The world is such a crazy place.
That's the track Friend of Mine from the new album Love Has Come for You from Steve Martin and Edie Brickell. And that does it for our all Steve Martin holiday edition of Soundcheck this Memorial Day weekend. I hope you've enjoyed digging through our archives as much as I have. You can stream or download virtually everything you hear on our show on soundcheck.org. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and we'll let you know as we post new stuff. Soundcheck is a production of WNYC. Irene Trudell leads our engineering team with Paul Schneider, George Wellington, Bill O'Neill, and Jason Isaac. The show is produced by Greta Cohn and Katie Bishop with Alex Kappelman and our intern Caroline Scannell. Our digital producer is Mike Katziff. Our executive producer is Joel Meyer. I'm John Schaefer.